good to be with you all. I'm calling it the Good Shepherd this morning. Many years ago, Jan and I were on a place called Unabella. It was in central Australia. It was an isolated Aboriginal settlement amongst the Pit and Tadera people. Now, I'm not going to go into all of the details of what it was like and so on. That's actually a picture of it there, taken from the air, of course. You can see what it looked like. But the thing that was very special about Unabella was it was probably the last sheep station in central Australia. I understand there's not too many sheep stations, mainly because there's an awful lot of dingoes and wild dogs. But it was the last sheep station in central Australia. Why? Because they followed the biblical principle of being a shepherd. The various boers scattered around in the country, they employed Aboriginal families to go out and look after the sheep. They would take the sheep out during the day to graze. They would put them in the yards at night and sleep near the yards and be ready to discourage any dog or dingo that took an interest in them with a 22 rifle. A good way of discouraging them. That's the way it ran. Now, we know a lot about lamb, don't we? We're told to eat lamb on Australia Day. We get it shoved down our neck, the whole idea of eating lamb. We're also eating pork too, by the way. Eating lamb, we know the various stories. Mary had a little lamb, we know that, don't we? Mary had a little lamb, you've heard this tale before. But after she had cleaned her plate, she had a little more. Isn't that the way it goes? Something like that anyway. I lose track of the whole thing. We know about lamb, but what don't we know? When I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and when I first, come on, silly thing. When I first started coming to churches and so on, I noticed looking around the place, there were a lot of pictures around the place of Jesus the Good Shepherd. And quite frankly, they were chundrous. They're horrible. They had all this sort of silvery haze around the back of his head. Or sometimes they had a great big golden dinner plate stuck on the back of his head. I remember in one of our churches, I was sitting down beside an Indonesian lady, and she said to me, "What colour was Jesus?" And I looked at her and I said, "Well, about the same colour as you." Because he was. He was Middle Eastern. But unfortunately, the artworks make him look as though he comes from, Eastern Europe. It's just not true to what it really was. Okay. But the idea of the Good Shepherd has fascinated people right the way down. This is a clay tablet that, it goes way, way back, to the early years of Christmas. And the Good Shepherd has fascinated people. Now you can buy all sorts of trinkets, you can buy key rings, you can buy things to put around your neck, all sorts of things to celebrate Jesus the Good Shepherd, Jesus the holding a little lamb in his arm. We've all seen it. Unfortunately, so much of it is just not true. It's not the way it was. Let's have a look at what really is true about it. The first thing, let's examine the statement, "I am." Oh, there he is, there's the Good Shepherd. We're going to sort out the real truth from the errors. The first thing to know about saying, "I am the Good Shepherd," it was utterly offensive name. We think it's lovely. Don't get all sweet and mushy inside when you talk about Jesus the Good Shepherd. It was totally, utterly offensive. "I am the Good Shepherd." Where does that come from? That goes way, way back. Moses in the wilderness, Moses with the burning bush. And God said to him, "Moses, I want you to go and talk to my people and get them away from Pharaoh." And he said, "Da, me? I can't do that. Who will I tell them sent me?" And he said, "I tell them I am that I am sent you. The God of your father Abraham and Isaac." So the term "I am" related directly to being God. When Jesus said "I am," and any of those "I am" statements that we hear about Jesus, he was saying effectively, "I am God." Get that, stick that in your pipe and smoke it. "I am God." They didn't like what he had to say. "I am." Completely offensive. I'm still finding it a little bit hard to see that one. I should come a little bit closer. You're all sitting down the back. I should move this down there somewhere or another. I am who I am. That's what he said. Say this to the people of Israel. I am who has sent me to you. So all the nice plaques, all the nice things you hang around your neck, all the key rings and so on, aren't terribly close to it. The second thing is, the Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd, the whole idea of being a shepherd. So we've got, I am, shepherd. Now we're on to your 23rd Psalm, Sharon. The Lord is my shepherd. Come on, you're not going to get a jelly baby for getting it right. What's he claiming? He's God. I'm God. I am God. I'm shepherd God. I'm God. No wonder they got a wee bit offended by what he had to say. But he goes on a little bit further. He says, I am the good shepherd. Now, where does that come from? This identification of self-identification of being the good shepherd was of great enormity. It had a long and significant Bible pedigree. You remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You remember Jesus' response? Why do you call me good? There's only one who is good, and that is God. Come on, folks, what's he claiming? I am that good one. I am God. So I am is God. Shepherd is God. Good is God. It's all saying, I am God. No wonder the Jewish leaders wanted to stone him. No one good except God alone. They were absolutely furious. They incurred the wrath of the Jewish leaders and the accusation of blasphemy and the threat of stoning. So does that change the idea of I am the good shepherd? Takes it out of the element of being nice and soppy and dopey and heartwarming and so on? It was tough, tough stuff that Jesus was saying. So it's an offensive name. It's also a contrasting name. The good shepherd cares for his sheep. You want to know you're cared for? We've got a good shepherd. He cares for his sheep. And even if you use I'm the door of the sheepfold and so on, it's saying the same thing. This one, who this God one, cares for his sheep. Does God care? You see, what are we? I'm not talking about the people who are homeless. I'm not talking about the people who've got nothing and so on, and the people who are alcoholics and all those sort of things. God cares for them? Of course he does. If they're his sheep, God cares for them. Does God care for us? Too right, he does. Does the government? No. You know what you are? You are a number. And it's completely dispassionate. You're just a number. That's why a lot of these things happened with the trying to reclaim money from people and all the rest of it. They didn't look at a person. They weren't interested in a person. They were interested in a number. And what did the numbers amount to? So that's what we are. We are numbers from our government, from those in control of us. Before the Good Shepherd, we're a person. He cares for us. But by contrast, the false shepherds, they're corrupt and self-serving. They're uncaring. All of this comes from the Old Testament, by the way. Ezekiel 34, Zechariah 7 and so on, all talks about the bad shepherds, the evil shepherds, the shepherds who don't care for the sheep and so on. It was talking about the kings and the priests of the time, and they were just corrupt. They just wanted to get as much as they could. They are uncaring. They weren't true shepherds of God's people. They were teachers of untruth. They are called sheep in wolves' clothing. Sorry? Yeah, no, I don't. I'm just saying if you're on the ball. You're on the ball, right, okay. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Every time I've talked about that one, I've said it the wrong way around. Sorry, Sharon, I'm not trying to have a shot at you. I've said it the wrong way around every time I do it. I just need somebody there on the ball, somebody correcting me to get it right. Who's not already asleep, that is, so that it's good to know. Okay, so teachers of the untruth. We've got that coming up in the New Testament, haven't we? It says there in the New Testament, Beware of them. Beware of those who teach falsity. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Messiah. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. And Jesus told, and Paul told Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with patience and careful instruction. Why? For the time is coming when the people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will want what's not. Can you read that graphic there? A bit of a cartoon there? I'm glad you can, I can't. That's where it's come to. The Good Shepherd, from modern day, often even in the churches, very sad to say, it just doesn't work that way. Often our leaders are after what they can get, or else they have diluted the message. And Paul is saying, beware those who dilute the message, who make Jesus' message easier to bear. Beware those who dilute the message because they're corrupt, because they want to get as much out of it as they possibly can. Beware of these things. These are false shepherds. Jesus was not a false shepherd. He was the God shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. It's also, third thing, it's a challenging name. The good shepherd, here we go. I have come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yep. That's been a little phrase, a little statement that's often made me wonder over the years. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What does it mean? And so I read through the commentators, they often just pass over that, you know, yeah. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Everybody knows what that and that means, do we? Do we know what it means to have true, abundant life? What is it? What it means is that God recalibrates. I have to go back on that one. There we go. God recalibrates and redirects our lives to the full. That's what it means, more abundantly. What was life meant to be about? What were the things that were supposed to fulfill us and satisfy us? That's what Jesus does. That's what the Good Shepherd does. He recalibrates our lives. You are then to be true followers and disciples of Jesus. All right, here's the questions. Do you know him? Do you know this Good Shepherd? Don't think of it in sentimental terms. Remember what Jesus was doing. Jesus was running the risk of being stoned to death to make that statement for us. He was claiming to be God. Do you know that God, that I am God, that shepherd God, that good God? Do you know him personally? Is he your good shepherd? Will you follow him? Will you be a follower of that good shepherd? These are the questions that come to us, but we also take it a little bit further. Can you be a kind of under-shepherd to other people? Will you love and care for people so that they are a person? They're not just a number. They're not just a statistic. Will you care and love for people? Will you be a shepherd to others? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we have a good shepherd. We have the one who loves us. We have the one who has shown us what it is, that he is the I am God. He is the shepherd God. He is the good God. And in that, this good shepherd is the one who has given up his life for us, who's laid his life down for the sheep of his, all of his own accord. Lord, we know as we read the New Testament, there are lots of times when he could have reneged on the deal. He was tempted in the wilderness, and he could have given in then. When he fed the 5,000, what a wonderful story that was. And they wanted to make him king. He escaped. He got away. He wasn't going to be made into a human king. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, before his crucifixion, he didn't want to go through that agony, but he submitted to your will. Even as he was being tried, Lord, if he had ever said, no, I just made it up, at the very least he would have saved his life. But Lord, he went all that way. This good shepherd king, this good shepherd God, did it all for us. And we are thankful. And we long with every fibre of our being that the world might know about this good shepherd. That our neighbours, our friends, the people we come in contact with who don't know him, that they may know him. Lord, we pray for them. We pray that you'll give us the opportunity to be able to spread this message. That you give us the opportunity to speak the words of Jesus to people. That you'll give us the sense to recognize those opportunities when they come. That you'll give us the courage to take up those opportunities. That you'll give us the nous to know what to say and what not to say. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will go before us. And all of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.